Hallelujah. God bless you. Do I have any questions? Sit down, please. Do I have any question to answer? If there's no question, thank you very much. Who wants to ask a question? Give me a microphone there. You can stand there and ask me. Pray.
Shalom, sir.
You too, shalom.
Good evening. Sir, there is this question I want to ask. Is it good for a gifted brother and sister to be making mark that he's gifted? Is it the gift that will let people know that yes, he or she is gifted? Or is it what he or she will be saying, telling people, I'm gifted? Is it compulsory or is it good for a gifted brother or sister to be saying that?
Well, it depends on what circumstance the person says it. Is it good for me to tell somebody that I'm a pastor? Or it is because I'm preaching that everybody will know I'm a pastor? So there's a time I will tell you I'm a pastor. And then I can tell you that I am a prophet so that you will believe me. I can tell you I'm a prophet because of what I want to tell you. Because you need to know by what authority I am telling you. But also, somebody can decide out of pride to be telling everybody I'm a gifted brother, I'm a gifted sister. It depends on the purpose for saying it. God bless you.
Thank you, sir.
Yes?
Shalom, sir.
God bless you.
Since the revelation of the word of God is progressing, I just want to ask, why are we still using the flying eagle as our symbols of faith, since we discovered that our symbol of faith is the face of human being? I just want to ask.
The eagle, the dove, is also a symbol of our faith. The cross is a symbol of our faith. The eagle is also a symbol of the Christian faith, because by a prophet he brought Israel out, and by a prophet he established. So there is, like this learned colleague is speaking, there is the primary application and there is a secondary application. So it depends on what you mean by using it.
Thank you, sir.
God bless you. Yes?
Praise the Lord.
Bless you.
There is this thing that has been bothering me. Somebody has asked me that question. I did not have answer to give. So I want to use the opportunity to ask the same question. It's about the woman that was caught in adultery. And the woman was brought to Jesus Christ. And the Bible declared that she was caught in the very act. And when he say act, that means it involved two people. Then why was the man was keeping silent? Nobody talked about the man. It is only the woman. So does it mean that men have right to commit fornication?
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Well, I believe you are questioning the law. Correct? You are questioning the law now. It was under the law.
Yes.
Eh?
Yes, sir.
It was under the law now. And the law itself was not perfect. And these are some of the imperfections of that law. And that is what necessitated the second covenant, the new covenant, because of her imperfection. So that is itself is part of the imperfection of the law.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Who again?
Shalom, church.
Let me balance something quickly concerning the question. Where's the brother that asked that question? You, yes. Let me quickly balance something. When I spoke about the imperfection of the law, it includes the fact that the law produced hypocrites. And that is exactly what Jesus was trying to prove to them.
Okay, sir.
The law, in applying the law, it produced hypocrisy, just like you are asking. They themselves, they commit, but they are not caught. Therefore, because you are not caught, you are justifying yourself. And that was what he threw back at them. When he said, if any of you has never done it, you be the first now to cast a stone on her. That is the hypocrisy that that aspect of the law produced. Thank you, sir.
Sir, I've been thinking, if a child is being born and from birth, maybe he was given a prophecy of he or she being a pastor, serving God and all that. And eventually that vision or the prophecy did not come to pass. The child died. I've been thinking, if it's coming from God, if it's God that have spoken that through a man of God, like a pastor, that this child will serve God, how possible would that child die without not fulfilling that promises? Would God speak and it will not come to pass?
That means it was a false prophecy. Simple.
And another one is, we are actually waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And some prophecies were given to some people and they held on to it. And eventually the person also died. Like, you did not make up what you ought to do as in on earth.
Sorry, I don't understand you.
We were given prophets, like a man is given prophecy, yes, by another pastor.
Yes.
And the person did not actually stay up to that time before the prophecy manifested.
I don't know if anybody understands him.
I'm saying,
you are asking the same question I have answered.
I'm saying we are waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes.
If actually Jesus comes, like we say, if the Lord tarries, if he comes, is it possible that our Lord Jesus Christ will come before his word, like he gave you a word, you're going to be a pastor in the future?
I have just said it now. I said that means it is a false prophecy.
Okay, sir. Thank you, sir.
Who again? Yes?
Shalom, sir.
God bless you.
Sir, is it proper for somebody to return a bride price after somebody's husband is dead?
That is tradition.
Okay. Because it happened to my daughter.
Not in the church. There's no scripture for it. It's in your tradition.
It's not my tradition, sir.
It's a tradition now.
Okay, sir.
Eh?
Okay.
It's a tradition now. It has nothing to do with Christianity. Uh-huh. There's nothing Christian about that. Okay. It's not a tradition for Christians. It's a tradition of your village people.
It's Urobo. It's not my...
You even said Urobo. You didn't say Israel. You didn't say Israel. Yes? Okay, on the screen, say Shalom, Brother Moses. You said in a rapture watch program that Ananias and Sapphira did not go to a hell fire and that there is a mystery about it. May I know the mystery? The mystery is in the doctrine of eternal security. You cannot have eternal life and lose it again. Eternal means no end. And you are not born again until you have received the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost is eternal life. It's the life of God coming to live inside of you. And so when you commit anything, God will deal with you. Ananias and Sapphira's punishment was to be a deterrent to others who were God's children and will live anyhow. He will not spare them. The unbeliever can do anything anyhow. After all, is it all liars that God kills? No, it's only his children. You want to disgrace me? You want to joke with me? I'll take you home. If Ananias does not go to heaven, then Moses will not go to heaven. God bless you. That's the mystery of eternal security. What did the Bible say in Ephesians 4:30? Grieve not the Holy Spirit, whereby you are sealed until the day you commit sin, until the day of redemption. God bless you. Yes, sister. Who is? Yes, let me hear you.
Shalom, sir.
God bless you.
Sir, please, the Bible said that before the names are written, before the foundation of the world.
Yes.
But I want to understand this word that said, strive to enter into the narrow gate.
Eh?
I want to understand this word that says, strive to enter into the narrow gate.
And also another one says, walk out your salvation with fear and trembling. Correct?
Yes, sir.
Eh?
Yes, sir.
Because God is a consuming fire. After Ananias and Sapphira died, how will the rest be walking with God?
They will fear.
Eh?
They will be afraid.
With fear and trembling. That's the meaning.
Thank you, sir.
God bless you. Who again?
Oh, Pastor. Yes, in the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 11, verse 8, to say that I robbed other churches, taking wages of them to do you service. So when I read this, I was not comfortable with it. I was like, what is he saying? What does he mean by saying that?
Who was he writing to the Corinthian church?
I think Apostle Paul.
I say he was writing to the Corinthian church.
Yes, sir.
All he was saying is, for the work he was doing with them, he was tasking other churches, collecting offerings from them for the purpose of coming to establish them. That's all. That's the meaning of that statement.
Okay, because of the word that was used, robbed.
Why you say rob? Because he will have used it now on them. But instead of using it on them, you are robbing Peter to pay Paul. I think there's an adage like that. Instead of using it on them, he collected it and was using it on another church. That's all he was making reference to. To show the kind of sacrifice and investment he has made on them.
Thank you, sir.
God bless you. Who again? Finish. Oh, okay.
Sir.
Yes.
God bless you, sir. Sir, my question is this. About the prodigal son, the Bible is telling us that there is joy in heaven when a sinner repented. So, in that story of the two prodigal, the prodigal son have waited and lavished what he have, and he still come back, as the Bible said, when he come back to his senses, after he have repented, he come back to his father, and his father accept him back. But Bible is telling us we should work out our salvation with trembling and fears. So that somebody should try everything you should do to work out for your salvation. And they said the brother to this prodigal son was coming from the farmer, from the farm. That is say, he's coming from the duty of his work. That is working seriously so that his father will appreciate his effort. And his father said, instead to appreciate his effort, he said he appreciate that one effort. You go and he appreciate the effort of the one that you are not doing
that
any work.
That is the story. What is the question?
So my question is this. Some people are working out, trying everything they'll do to work for God. And at the end of it, they will have some challenges. But there are some those that even the way that the Lord says is not good, they'll be trying to do it and they'll be prospering on it. So
why do you compare that situation with the prodigal son? The one that was at home, was he suffering?
The father said, son, I am with you here.
Uh-huh.
And that's to say that son that with his father,
yes,
never asked anything, but he's doing everything so that
he had everything he needed because he was with the father. But the other one left and was not enjoying what he was enjoying at home with his father. So why are you jealous of somebody who left and was suffering? and he left and went. A part of me had gone. As I love you, that is the same way I love him. I have been praying for him to come back. Now he has come back. The family is complete. Why are you not happy that he has come back? Why are you comparing yourself with him? You are with me here. There is no need for celebration. We are celebrating because he has come back. That is the story there. And that story is not just a story, but it is a lesson for all of us. Two things we learn from there. The first one is that the backsliding Christian just know that God is not happy that you are backsliding. He's not happy. He's just anxiously waiting, as if every father will do, that you will come back to him. And the second lesson we learn there is that we should not rejoice at the downfall of another brother. We should not rejoice. And that when he comes back to fellowship, we should receive him back to fellowship and let him feel accepted and loved again. That is what we learn from there.
Yes, sir. Thank you, sir.
God bless you.
Sir, the second question is this.
How many questions do you have?
Let me just ask only two, sir.
Okay.
The Bible said the hellfire is prepared for Satan and his angel. And his angels. And the Bible said he have created good and bad, but he prayed that we accept the good ones. That is to say, God not allow us to spend our eternity in hell. But there is another place that said, hell have enlarged its course. Is it because of those that fail to join Satan now, but they are not the angels of the Satan?
Why it was enlarged?
Enlarged, since it's created for the angel Satan and his angel.
Yes, hell was created for Satan and his angels. His angels, the word the angel means messenger, servant. All those who are serving Satan are Satan's angels. And there are celestial angels and there are terrestrial angels. There are spiritual angels, there are human angels. And you are either an angel of God or you are an angel of Satan. And all angels of Satan, together with Satan, we end where Satan is taking them to. So what is your question?
That is my question, is that...
That is why, since their followers are increasing, the hell has to be enlarged also to accommodate all the billions of people that have rejected Christ.
Yeah, thank you, sir. My question is from this point, and the other one that we understand, as I said, internal security. Once and forever...
Are you asking the third question?
No, sir, but...
Are you with style asking the third question?
It's the same, almost the same thing, sir. Because, as the Lord said, he have did good and bad, but he prayed that which is the good one.
Which that scripture is that?
Sir, I don't know, sir. Yes, sir. I don't know, sir.
Eh?
But it's in the scripture.
How do we know it is in the scripture? You don't quote what you don't know. Don't repeat what people say, because I don't know where that is written.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Yes?
No, sir.
God bless you. Shalom, church. God bless, sir. My question goes like this. The entire message church I am going has three different churches that is controlled by one pastor. None of them has any right to fast and pray or have communion services without his command. Even the plastic rubber for feet washing has to be brought from his church. And he knows the number of people that pays their tithe. Sir, is this church not denominated? You too. From where? Spain. Jennifer, from Spain. That is not an enter message church. Pure and simple. There is nothing there. The fact that they are mentioning that they are followers of the ministry of William Branham, which is a restoration ministry, does not make it an enter-message church. An enter-message church begins with the knowledge of what is the message. It is when you are practicing what the message is that you are looked at as an end time message church. At this end time, there is a message to the church to come out of denominational system and come to Bible Christianity, come back to the apostolic faith. And there is no such pattern in the Bible, and William Branham spoke against that. It is actually another denomination with the sermon books of William Branham quoting it. There's nothing like that. It's not that. And it is not the man that has problem. It is you who are attending that church that have problem. Can he have me, for instance, in his church? Because our eyes of understanding he has opened up at last. As victory is ours, we are chained down in the past. True jubilee has sounded, and we are responding to our God, who is the original love. We are to come back to the original faith. They have departed from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirit and doctrines of devils. That is one of them. That's what the Bible says. And so what is the message? He said, come out of her, my people, and not be partaker of her sins. God bless you. The man is just setting up one business center. Another one from where? Brother Tio from Ghana. Pastor, please, can you throw more light on the scriptural justification for the water ministration? Scriptural justification for water ministration. This is the scriptural justification, Matthew chapter 8. Listen. And that is the story of the centurion. If we read it from verse 5, and when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home, sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof. But speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say unto this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith. No, not in Israel. Now this is where I am going, verse 13. And Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way, and as thou hast believed, as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. As thou hast believed, the just shall walk by faith, shall live by faith. Faith is revelation. What is the scriptural justification? The scriptural justification, and there are many in the Bible, is that we call it prophetic action. Prophetic action. As I do this, let this happen. Maybe, praise God. Hallelujah. Listen very well. Listen very well. When we say we are restored to the Bible, listen very well. Among the things you see in the Bible is that them that are led by the Spirit, They are the children of God. Among the things we are restored to is the leadership of the Spirit. And not just leadership of the Spirit, but what do we know whether that thing that is leading you is the Spirit of God? It must not contradict the Bible. Because God cannot contradict himself. But God can use any means to heal. Any action of faith you take, he can heal. There is nowhere in the Bible, for instance, that says if you want God to answer you, you should go to a mountain. And there is no number of days given in the Bible that you should fast. It is as you feel led. So why are you doing dry fasting 3 days and 4 days? As I am led. Is there anything in the Bible that says I should not fast for 3 days? There's nothing like that. So it is as one is led. It is faith in action. Nothing more. It is faith in action. And water ministration and the way we do it here can only be done effectively by a prophet in a prophetic ministry. Because what a prophet sees in the spirit, you that you are not a prophet will not see it. And apart from that, the Lord can lead even you. You are not a prophet. He can lead you to do certain things for your healing, for your deliverance. Nothing more. So if you say I should show you scripture, it is that we are led to do it. And there is nothing in the Bible that contradicts it. And outside the Bible, we have William Branham, who we saw that a young boy or so, was suffering from epileptic seizures, epilepsy. And William Branham told the relation, by discernment, you have a brother that is suffering from this seizure. They say, yes, praise God. And he said, thus saith the Lord. He said, when next you see that young boy, the seizure comes upon him, he said, tear that cloth out of his body and put it on fire. He said, and epilepsy will never come to the boy again. And he did it. They did it when they got home. And it was over. Which scripture is that? He was led by the Spirit to do that. Praise the Lord. Elisha was very old. And the king of Israel came to him with a battle with the Assyrians. The Syrians, because before you go, you must go and inquire for battle. And he told him that he said he should take his bow and arrow and point to the east, not to the north. Where did he say he should point to? To the east. And he pointed to the east. Because the east needed a delay. And he fired through the arrow. And Elijah said, thus said the Lord. He said, that is the arrow for the destruction of the Syrians. That is a prophetic action. It is not that arrow, but it was as that arrow is going, that is how your weapons will finish them. Then he's come again, he said, now hit that bow a number of times on the ground. And the king hit it 1, 2, 3, and stopped. He said, oh, you will have continued. But now you hit it only 3 times. Therefore, you will defeat them only 3 times. It is a prophetic action. Let me give another one. The prophecy for the destruction of Babylon. Jeremiah gave the prophecy, wrote the end of Babylon, and sent it by a man to go to the river Jordan. Is it Jordan? He goes to the river and says he should tie a stone on that paper. Tie the paper where he wrote the prophecy of the destruction of Babylon. And he said, when he gets to the mouth of the river, he said, so he should read it and then tie it with a stone and throw it into that river. And you know, with that stone, it will go down and it will never come up again. He says, so shall Babylon go down and never come up again. And that was the end of Babylonian kingdom. A prophetic action. So, we take water every Tuesday here. We take water symbolically. Water is a point of contact to somebody's life. It's for prayers. But some people's life, destiny, business, whatever pertaining to your life, is in a cage, symbolized by that water in that bottle. And when we pray, as I will open this bottle, let any cage in my life be open. It's a prophetic prayer. And when you open it, wherever you have been caged, it's open. And you begin to pray along. Amen. And we know that anything that is dead, when you pour water there, it comes back to life. Correct? So we also begin to pray, as I will drink this water, symbolically, so shall my life resurrect again. And you begin to pray and pray. Nothing more. Praise the Lord. Now, somebody from Zambia some time ago called me. He's also an inter-message believer. Unfortunately, most of the followers of the ministry of William Branham, known as the inter-message believers, are just mere legalists. They just follow the letter of the message. They don't have the spirit of the message. And it's most unfortunate. Most unfortunate. And somebody said he was watching me, but this one was sincere, from Zambia. And he said he watches us doing water ministration. And one day in another town, a sister was having serious stomach problem. The brethren there had prayed and prayed, and that problem was persisting. The sister would not sleep for days or so. They call him, being a pastor in another town. He said he remembered water ministration. And he called them and told them they should get a glass of water. And he blessed it on the phone. And the person drank it. He said, about an hour later, they called him and said immediately she drank that water, the stomach trouble stopped. Now he's calling me. He said it worked for him. He said, but which scripture backs that up? So I replied him to wait on Tuesday. I will answer him. On Tuesday, I told them, even now, and I did the same thing in Cameroon. Because when they gather, they are all legalists, complete legalists. They know nothing about the things about faith. See, it is not the water that heals. Amen. It is the faith. It is faith. What is faith? Praise God. Hallelujah. I don't know if I can do a small demonstration. Eh? Can I do a small demonstration? A If you want Jesus to confirm his word, clap your hands for him. If you want Jesus to confirm his word, clap your hands for him. Hallelujah. Just a little demonstration. I did it before, but in case this person called from where? Ghana. Is it Ghana? That's where you have the worst legalists following this entire message. Who is sick? Who is sick here now? With a symptom that if it goes now, you will know. Who?
My heart.
They are suffering from depression. Depression. The cure for that is a serious cure. I can't demonstrate it here now. But I will show you. There is medicine for it too. God will deliver you from depression.
Amen, sir.
But I want to demonstrate something here practically here now. Sit down first. What's your own?
My heart.
Eh?
Yeah, my heart.
Heart or chest?
It'd be like
the heart,
the pain.
Pains.
Okay, you called me today.
Yes, yeah, call
and
you.
I said I will pray with you today.
Correct.
Oh yeah, come out. Your own is what?
Chest.
Eh?
Chest.
Chest, come out. Stand here. Give me water. Now, demonstration. Now, God will heal everybody here today. I just want to answer the Ghanaian. Give me water. You don't have a smaller one? No smaller bottle. Any smaller bottle?
You are God.
Open it.
From beginning to the end.
Praise the Lord.
There's no place.
Face the church now.
For argument.
You are going to drink water, this water, and God will heal you. Your own, you said I was in the wrong thing.
Pains.
Your own pain, where?
Pains on my hands.
Okay, then you don't need this. Eh? What? Where's your Bible? Okay, wait. Okay, bring your Bible. Okay, come. You are going to hold this handkerchief in that hand that is paining you. Who give him the water now? Wait now. I go hold them first. Hold them first. You are going to hold this handkerchief. Which hand? This one, Abby. Listen. Listen to what I am saying, you know. The two of you. Listen. You are going to hold this handkerchief. And God is going to heal this hand now. Do you believe it?
I believe.
Eh?
I believe it.
You believe it? You are going to drink this water. Eh? As you drink this water, God is going to heal that your chest pain where they say in our heart. If your heart is the worry, if you come here today. Eh? Do you believe it?
Yes, I believe.
Eh?
I believe.
You believe it?
Yes, sir.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So that you will know that it is not the water that heals. It is not this handkerchief. See this handkerchief, and they take and clean my sweat. Nothing more. Nothing there. Nothing there. I mean, you get handkerchief. Okay, that one there. Don't worry. Use my own. Eh? Okay, somebody please say, Namiga, can I have your handkerchief? I can thank you very much. Eh? Now I'm going to give you his handkerchief. And you are going to, so that somebody will not say it's my handkerchief. Maybe I put something there. That water, not be my water. I think that somebody give me from there. Okay? Okay, maybe they will say it's from the altar. Anybody get water here? Can we use your own?
You don't need
are you sure you don't need it? Eh? Okay, let me call that one. Eh? Open it.
You have have chosen.
Now you are going to drink this water. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. May the Lord have mercy on us. You are God
from beginning to the end. There's no place for argument. You are God all by yourself.
Water does not heal. The handkerchief does not heal. But faith in the grace of God. How will you know now? You, check it. Check it. Talk, I'm not
he's
hearing
okay,
him.
He's okay.
Eh? I'm not hearing him.
He's okay, I see
that. Check it. Now you never check how they talk.
I check. I check.
Eh? You don't go.
Prepare, don't go.
Eh?
Yeah.
Eh? You don't go.
You don't go.
You don't go.
Yes, sir.
Oh, yeah. Jude, check your own. Eh? Eh? Let's hear him.
Oh, glory.
Can I hear him, please?
He's gone. He's gone.
Eh?
He's gone.
How do you know?
I can't do it this way.
You could not do it like that before. Is it the handkerchief that healed him? Is it the water that heal him? When Jesus comes,
oh Lord,
the temptation
is broken. When Jesus comes, oh tears are wiped away.
He takes the gloom.
Before I came, I couldn't breathe at all.
Oh.
Just now.
And so when they were healing, you were connecting.
Yes,
that God should heal you too. Okay now. Hallelujah.
They were insisting that I should stay. They were telling me to, but the woman here told me to stay. So I decided to connect.
Hallelujah. Are you?
Yes, sir. I was coming out. This brother said
you should go back.
Yes, sir. Then I said, God is not a partial God. He will heal me. Because I can't touch it. I can't raise this leg up. But now I can't.
I need no other argument.
I need no other argument. This is the Lord that Jesus died. And that he died for me.
Hallelujah. Praise God. It is not the handkerchief. It is what you ask God to use it to do for you. And he can do with anything. They that know their God. If I don't know him, don't I stand the risk of being disgraced here? If nothing happens, uncle, won't I be afraid? You are telling the whole world, they are watching me all over the world now. Then I'm saying, oh yeah, come now, let me demonstrate. If nothing happens, uncle, did I see vision? No big question they ask me now. Did I see vision? No. Did I hear a voice that this is what you should do? No. It is written. Hallelujah. And I know my God. I know him. I know him. Praise the Lord. I know him. I know what he can do. And I know what he cannot do. I know my God. How many people know him? If you know him, give him a clap offering. I am a true witness. Whatever I tell you is what I know to be the truth. And he will back it up. He will never put us to shame that believe in him. From Enugu, Shalom, as pastor asked those men to come out. I am supposed to go to a hospital this morning. I quickly rushed to my TV and I said, God should heal me too. Then I now placed that hand on my chest. I felt a shock instantly at the left part of my body. I just discovered that I am strong and fine now. My throat was so bitter, but now I don't feel it anymore. May the name of the Lord be glorified forever. Amen. Sister Patience from Enugu, somebody shout, thank you, Lord Jesus Christ. Is it not a sign that every prayer you offer here today, there will be answer? He honors faith as thou hast believed. Somebody will think that, oh, Pastor Alu has special anointing. There is no special anointing. It is your faith that gave you healing. That is what these people do in the denomination. They put one water inside bottle and sell it to you, anointed water, and use your own faith. It's your own faith, oh, and they make money with it. Jesus. I'm a teacher. I'm teaching you something. I'm giving you a secret. You have it. It's not to me. Oh, you think I am the one? You see now, some people say, Kai, this man get anointing. You see now, it is your faith. If you stood there and say you don't believe it, it will never happen. If you stood there and say, lie, it will not, even if I push you, pray, blow, kick you, in fact, the pain will increase. Because you don't believe. It is your faith, as thou hast believed. The person there, I was not looking at him. He came to the television and God healed him. Heal her. So is it me that healed her? Did I know she was there? Do I have, am I a healer? Who is the healer? Oh, and he is omnipresent. I say he is omnipresent. I say he is omnipresent. The only thing is this. That assures us even now extra is that he said, where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there. And if we are gathered in his name, he is here now. And if he's here now, how shall we know he's here? It's by his manifestations. And when we lift him up, he will draw men to him. Amen.